Well, Luke chapter 2, we're going to be speaking from just the last part of this, but I wanted to pick it up in verse 22. Luke 2, verse 22. This is 40 days after Jesus was born, and his parents are bringing him into the temple to obey the law of God, to fulfill what God had called him to do. And while they're in the temple, they meet Simeon. So I'd like to read from 22 just through 32. And we will be focusing really on 25 through 32. Luke 2, verse 22. This is the Word of God. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him, Jesus, up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people, Israel. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would write these words upon our hearts and minds, and that my thoughts and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are my rock and my redeemer. Amen. There are many who look at Christmas and they see the lights and they see the glittering trees and they see the presents. They consume the eggnog and the rich food that they probably shouldn't. And they go to family gatherings and all those things are fine, but that's not all that Christmas is about. There are some people who see the coming of the Son of God. There are some people who see their comfort, their consolation, their salvation here. There are some people who see just the gifts under the tree, and others who see the greatest gift that was ever given, that the Messiah has come to crush the head of the serpent. Now, Mary and Joseph, as the parents, they brought the baby Jesus into the temple. And if we were there, we would have seen a poor family, young family, with a child. That's all we would have seen, I think. That's what most people saw. The temple was a busy place. Just a poor family and a normal child. But when Simeon saw him, he saw the Messiah. So how did Simeon see in the baby Jesus Messiah? And what difference does it make to Simeon? And how can we see in the baby Jesus Messiah? And what difference does it make to us? Well, first, we take at the very beginning, it talks about the law of Moses, the law of Moses, and the law of Moses, and doing according to the custom of the law over and over and over again. The Messiah came to fulfill all of the Old Testament, all the requirements, all the predictions, all the prophecies. And that's what he's doing here. Even as a child, his parents are obeying the law of God. And they're doing it perfectly. In the Old Testament, Jesus, in the Old Testament, the Messiah, the Christ, was described in detail. Was predicted to be here and to do that. And he's described in detail. And anyone who has the eyes to see and the heart to search for it, it's all over the Old Testament. When you're reading the Old Testament now, if you're familiar with the New, you will think, this is all New Testament stuff. because of all the predictions that were made about the Messiah. But even now, Jesus is fulfilling God's commandments. He was circumcised on the eighth day, according to the law of Moses. He was named Jesus, Savior, or Yahweh saves, because that's what the angel commanded to have him named. You shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And then now we have Mary coming in for her purification. You don't often read Leviticus, but let me read just a little bit. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, if a woman conceives and bears a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. And at the time of her menstruation, she shall be unclean. And on the eighth day of the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Then she shall continue for 33 days in the blood of her purifying. She shall not touch anything holy or come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying are completed." So she waited 40 days and she's coming into the temple. She is fulfilling the law of God. And they are presenting Jesus to the Lord. They are, maybe another way to put it, they are redeeming him as their firstborn child. And this goes back to the Exodus, in Exodus chapter 13. "Consecrate to me," the Lord says, "all the firstborn. Whoever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, of both man and beast, is mine. Every firstborn male among your sons you shall redeem. And when in time to come your son asks you, 'What does this mean?' you shall say to him, 'By a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt and the house of slavery. And when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that opened the womb first, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem.'" So there was a price to be paid to redeem your firstborn son back to yourself. In fact, the Levites, they were the ones who stayed with the Lord and served him. But anyway, I just wanted you to see the Old Testament background here. That Jesus is fulfilling the Old Testament, even as a child. One of the descriptions of his coming is in Galatians chapter 4. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law." And why? "To redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." He fulfilled the law so that we could be welcomed into his house and to his table. He came to fulfill the law for our consolation and our salvation. And when they get to the temple, fulfilling the requirements of the law of God, they meet Simeon. And that was a surprise to them. They didn't know he was coming. But who was Simeon? He was a man. I sort of want to emphasize that he was a man. He was righteous and devout. He was a man of the covenant. All those things are true. But sometimes when we look at biblical characters, we put them on a pedestal 12 feet higher than we are. But he was a man like us. He was a man who was trusting the Word of God. He was a man who was walking with God. He was a man who was trying to maintain righteous relationships with other people. That's what righteousness means, basically in relation to other people. He was doing the right thing. And also he was devout. He was devoted to God. He submitted to Him. And because he was walking with God, I take it, the Holy Spirit came to him, filled him, and even gave him a personal promise. He was waiting, it says, for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the promises to be fulfilled. He was waiting for what God had said he would do to be done. He was waiting for the Messiah to come to release them from their bondage to sin, to pay for it once and for all. He was waiting for the consolation, the comfort of Israel. Let me read several Old Testament passages that have to do with this as well, because I want you to see that Jesus just didn't come out of the blue. He came in fulfillment of prophecy. This day was thousands of years in preparation. All of time and all of history is controlled by the sovereign hand of our God. "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Sing for joy, O heavens and earth. O earth, break forth, O mountains, into singing. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted. That's what Simeon was waiting for. The promises that God made are true. And they're going to be fulfilled, and I'm waiting. In fact, Simeon is sort of a picture of all of the covenant people of God and their waiting faith. They took God at his word. They took God on his promise. They believed in the Messiah that would come, and that was their salvation. But they were waiting for him to come. They were waiting for the work to be accomplished. The Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waiting places and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving in the voice of song. That's the day they were waiting for. That's the day they were looking forward to, and that's the day we look back upon as already achieved, as already fulfilled. And that is our comfort. That is our consolation. Jesus actually applied these words to himself later in life. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So in all these things, Jesus was fulfilling the promise, and Simeon was waiting for it, waiting for the promises to be fulfilled. And he had been given eyes to see, really, the fulfillment of that promise in this poor family and their child. That's the one. He could see it because he had, I guess, the eyes of faith. He could see it because he had the presence of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus was the consolation of his people, even as a child. And the work was already being done. He was already fulfilling the law of God. He has already come in fulfillment of all the promises that were made. He is the comfort of his people. And for Simeon, the Holy Spirit was upon him. He was, we could say it this way, he was a believer. And he had been given a personal promise that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. I just love that phrase. I think it's probably true of every Christian. We are given eyes to see Christ as he really is before we die. And that's what makes us Christians. He was also a prophet. So maybe this is when he's on the 10-foot pedestal. But he was to recognize the child that no one else at the time could recognize, and he was to testify about him. That was his task. That was Simeon's calling. That was his vocation. And so he spent his days waiting for the consolation of Israel. And he was on this day led by the Lord into the temple, because this was the day he would see the Messiah. He came to the temple to see Jesus. To lay eyes upon him, yes, but he came to the temple to embrace the Messiah. Now, is that why you come to church? To embrace the Messiah? To see Jesus? To hear his voice? To take him up in your arms, as it were, the arms of faith, and to embrace him? Because you understand who he is and what he's done. And when Simeon saw Jesus, he blessed God. This is the work of God that has been in preparation for thousands of years. This is the work of God. This is his plan and his purpose from before the foundation of the world. This is the high point of history. This is the centerpiece. This is the jewel. This is it. And he was given eyes to see it. So he blessed God for his work. And then he embraced Jesus. He embraced him for himself. I really like to go to museums, and I really hate museums at the same time. You see some amazing things when you go to a museum. You learn a little bit. But ever since I was a child, I'd go to a museum, I couldn't touch it. They wouldn't let me touch it. They wouldn't let me take it in my hands. They wouldn't let me take it home with me. I couldn't own it. I could just observe it from a distance. And I think that's the way many people treat Jesus and Christmas and the stories. They keep it at a distance. It's like going to a museum. And that's what going to church is like for many people. They see Jesus from a distance, but they don't embrace him. They don't own him. They don't take him home. That's why I don't like, this isn't a museum. This is the church. And you can take Jesus in your arms. Simeon takes up Jesus in he embraces the Christ. And in so doing, he is speaking of Jesus and who he was, and so fulfilling his life calling to see the baby Jesus, to see the Savior, and to bear witness to him. That was his calling. That's who he was. Remember last week I said, well, John the Baptist was the greatest of the Old Testament prophets because he not only talked about Jesus from a distance and types and shadows, but he said he's right there. He could point to Jesus. And now we have Simeon taking Jesus up in his arms. We can embrace him. He's that real. He's that physical. He's that true. And Simeon blessed God. The Old Testament, he could see all of the Old Testament prophets and prophecies coming to fulfillment in this child. And it was an amazing thing to him. But how did he recognize that this was the Messiah? Look at verse 27. And he, Simeon, came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God. He recognized Jesus by the Holy Spirit. I have told people who Jesus was and what he has come to accomplish. I've described who he was and what he's done. I've described him as the Savior, and they look at me and they don't get it. They don't understand. It's maybe like observing it in a distant museum piece or something, but they don't get it. They don't see it. In fact, one time I said, this is the gospel, and I explained to him in detail. And then I saw him the very next week, and he came back, and I said, well, what is the gospel? Why do you think you're going to go to heaven? Well, I haven't killed anybody. I just gave you the answer last week, and you can't give it back to me this week. What happened? He hadn't been given the Holy Spirit. That's what happened. It is only by the Holy Spirit that we discern these things. It is only by the Holy Spirit that we have eyes to behold the greatness of the work of God in the baby Messiah. Other than that, we just see a child. A poor Jewish child. That's all we'll see. Until the Holy Spirit opens our eyes. And he was there by the Holy Spirit. And we recognize Jesus in exactly the same way. I remember growing up in the church, and I had heard the stories, and we had Christmas, and I never understood it. We sang the hymns. I didn't get it. I didn't get it until the Holy Spirit opened my eyes, and then it began to make sense. That's how we recognize Jesus. And for Simeon, this meant that he could depart in peace. Now that word depart, we often think of it only as, well, now I can die in peace. And that's true. But I think he is released from his burden, his calling, his need to see and to proclaim about the Messiah. He's now done it. He has fulfilled his life task. Now, we often think of Simeon as a really old man here because he talks about death, but we don't know that he was an old man. Could have been a young man. Have no idea how old he really was. But he was prepared to now leave his calling, and he was now prepared to enter into the presence of God. I could die. I'm at peace. I still remember when I was I think I told you this story before. I was about to get into a pretty bad car accident, and my wife was pregnant with our firstborn child, and I thought, I might die. It's okay. That was an amazing experience for me, to realize I might die and it'd be fine. And Simeon now sort of entered into that consolation, entered into that comfort, that I am safe in the Father's hands, that he has sent his Messiah. And if he has sent his baby Messiah here, he's going to complete the rest of the work. I have nothing to fear. The work of salvation will be done completely. So I am ready to depart from my calling, to be released from my service as a prophet, as one who would testify of Jesus, and I'm ready to die. But why was he ready to die? He was ready to die because he understood Christmas. Because he could see in Jesus the Savior of the world. He could see in Jesus his righteousness. He could see in Jesus his forgiveness. Therefore, I'm ready to go before the throne of a holy God and know that I am accepted and know that I am beloved. He knew why God has sent His Son into the world. He knew what was all the fuss was about. God had come, just as He said, to bring salvation, and everything's fine. It's sort of the feeling I get, used to get when I would go into my Father's house, and everything would be prepared for me. And I had nothing to fear. He had paid all the bills. All the food was prepared. I was welcomed and accepted in His house. And I've had, He wasn't a perfect father either, but I have had testimony after testimony and evidence after evidence that my Father loved me. And when we, as the people of God, come to the table today, we have the same thing. We ought to be at peace. We ought to be at rest. We ought to know the comfort and the consolation of the people of God. We ought to be at home in our Father's house. We ought to be at rest and at peace, because the Father has prepared everything. Amen. Salvation has been provided in the presence of all peoples. You see what He said? Not only are You letting Your servant depart in peace, for My eyes have seen Your salvation. The salvation that You have prepared in the presence of all peoples. The ministry of Jesus was very, very public. There are some other religious gurus and heroes that have started their own religions, and their ministry was basically private and unobserved. But Jesus was very public. He had provided this salvation in the presence of all peoples. Everyone could see it. He did it in time and in space and in history. He did His works before the eyes of the world. It wasn't done in a corner, and it wasn't done in secret. It was done in history. In fact, I remember when I was learning how to write an essay. You remember this, how they told you to do it? Tell them what you're going to tell them. That's the introduction. Then tell them, and then tell them what you told them. That's what the whole Bible is about. The Old Testament says, this is what I'm going to do. And then in the life and times of Jesus, His life, death, and resurrection, this is what I did. And the rest of the New Testament is, this is what it means. This is what I told you. That's the whole Old Testament. But He did His salvation in time and in history. And it can be verified and substantiated, much of the history of it. All this was prepared and was orchestrated by God over thousands of years. In fact, I heard something recently that Jesus grew the tree that would become the cross. And Jesus sustained the soldiers in life who would eventually crucify Him. I'm amazed that people can take vanilla and flour and eggs and chocolate chips and make chocolate chip cookies. Can you smell them? Oh, I can smell them now. But can you imagine God takes time and history and prophecy, and He mixes it all together over thousands of years. He takes, even I would say, the free will of man, and He takes families and their history over thousands of years, produces the Messiah. It's absolutely astonishing. The Word of God, this is just a throwaway, but the Word of God can defend itself. Anyone who seriously looks into it, it can defend itself. It bears up well under intense scrutiny because it is truth. So we don't need to defend it ultimately to anyone who seriously looks into it. But what was He, this Messiah? He goes on to explain who He was. He is a light for revelation to the Gentiles. So Jesus, though He was Jewish, He was a Savior of all mankind. He wasn't just the Jewish Savior. He was the Savior of all mankind. He is a light of revelation to the Gentiles. He is a vessel of truth to the world. He is, we call Him the Logos, He is the Word. He is written, objective truth. He is the standard of morality. He is the true picture and representation of God. And the Bible gives us this light to the general, an accurate picture of ourselves and what we need. So He speaks truth, but He speaks truth to the world. And He's also the glory of His people Israel. And in some sense, this means the same thing, because He's the salvation of the Gentiles and He's the Savior of the Jews, both. but the glory of the people of Israel, because Israel had been given the covenants and the promises and the word of God and the prophets, etc. And it was all worked through them and through their family lines and through their generations. And the Savior came from the Jews. Salvation is from the Jews for the Gentiles and the Jews. Jesus is Jewish. We don't often say that, but it's true. And Christianity, rightly understood, is Judaism fulfilled. Every promise that was given to the Old Testament people is fulfilled through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is their glory. So, just a real simple question as we close. Do you recognize Jesus as the Messiah? As the work of God over thousands of years, as the plan before the foundation of the world, He came in the fullness of time under the law to redeem those under the law. And then, do you see yourself in the story? Not just at a museum looking at it from a distance, but you can, like Simeon did, take Him up in your arms and take Him home. You can, if I could put it this way, own Him as Messiah. Own Him as your own Messiah. Because you can see how He was the plan of God fulfilled. The Old Testament promises He kept, He fulfilled. He is the consolation. He is the comfort. He is the reason that the Father in heaven can welcome you into His house. Having paid all the taxes and provided for all the food, and welcome you as a son or a daughter of the living God. So, quick questions. Do you believe? And then do you understand Christmas? Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for eyes to behold the Messiah and arms to take Him in our arms, to embrace Him as He has freely offered us in the gospel. We thank You, Lord, for the joy and the peace, the comfort, the consolation, the salvation that is freely ours through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us, Lord, more and more to rest in it, to rejoice in it, to see the beauty, the power of the plan and the purpose of God. And to know, Lord, that we are no longer in a museum, but we're in the living room of the living God. Thank You, Lord, that we have been welcomed, that we have been received, no matter how bad our past has been. We are now the children of the living God, because the penalty for sin has been paid. And we are now righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are now at rest and at peace in Him. So I pray, Lord, that You would grant the Holy Spirit to give us eyes to see the Savior as He really is, and to understand that the greatest gift of all was given us in Christ at Christmas. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn just before communion is number 207, Good Christian Men Rejoice. And as the song is sung, could everybody move into the center aisle so we can serve communion.
Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice, giving it to what we say. Jesus Christ is born today, up in heaven before Him bow, and He is in the manger now. Christ is born today, Christ is born today. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now you hear of endless bliss. Jesus Christ was born for this. He hath opened heaven's door, and man is blessed forevermore. Christ was born for this. Christ was born for this. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye need not fear the grave. Jesus Christ was born to save. Calls you one and calls you all to gain His everlasting. everlasting hall. Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save.
You may be seated. This is the table of the Lord, and it is spread for all who belong to Him, all who are welcomed at His table. Let me read you a little further about what Simeon said. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. You could say that Jesus came to save his people from his sins, or from their sins, and he did. That's true. You could say that he came to save a great multitude that no man can number, and that's also true. But you could also say that Jesus came to divide, and that's true. To divide believer from unbeliever, to divide the precious from the vile, some people put it that way. Sheep from the goats. He came to make a division. And this table also makes a division between those who know the Lord and those who don't. Those who believe Him and those who don't. Those who just observe Him from the museum but don't really embrace Him. And those who take Him home. And those who are at home in His presence and know the consolation of being in His house. We are at His house and we are at His table. And He has provided everything for us. And for those who see that by the eyes of the Holy Spirit, and know that to be true, they can come here and they can rejoice. But those who don't see that shouldn't come. It's almost like this table would be poison to them. Unless you embrace the Savior in your own arms of faith, then this table isn't spread for you. So I would encourage you not to partake until you understand what Christmas is all about. Until you see in the baby Jesus the Messiah. Until you know that you need Him. Until you know that you have Him. So what do we think of Jesus? One person put it once that he's either a liar, a lunatic, or a fool, or he's the Lord. Given the claims that Jesus made, those are the only options. And we here confess him as Lord. And he is the Lord of this table. And he invites all those who recognize him as Lord and Savior to come. To come for all things have been provided. To come for all things have been given freely to you, to all who believe. So to those who can see in the baby Jesus the Messiah and know that you need him, you can see him as the comforter and as the consolation of all of his people. This table is freely spread for you, and there is treasure at this table. There is life at this table, and there is forgiveness at this table, and there is freedom at this table. So come, for the table has been prepared, dear brother and sister in Christ, for you. By the Lord's own hands. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have come so near to us as to live in our shoes. You became human and you came sin and you achieved your work. But Lord, you have also come to us by your word and by your spirit. You have also met us at your table. And so, Lord, we do pray that you would be with us. That you would feed our souls to life eternal. That you would help us to enter more deeply into the comfort and the consolation that belongs to the people of God. The joy and the peace that passes all understanding. And that you would sustain us by this food and drink, which is true food and drink. And that you will raise us up, even as you have promised, on the last day. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.